Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for February the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2020. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. We reject revolution, but we stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And let's be clear, don't let that soft statement fool you. No doubt if the government comes for our guns, we'll be forced to defend ourselves. And I get that a war may be necessary to defend one's freedom. And I understand all that. I just know this. We're going to do everything we can to peacefully advocate for the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And the only question is, will they let us? So by my soft answer saying we reject revolution, we stand for peaceful restoration, they may force one on us. I get it. But I'll never be the one that's the instigator of anything less than peace. That's the point. We will do what is necessary. Make no mistake. By the way, Donald Trump said he'll defend our Second Amendment rights in the State of the Union address, and I pray he does. Trump basically said, Trump pledges to always protect Second Amendment rights. Now, I don't really know how that works, Kurt, with take the guns first, due process second, but there you go. Do you want to respond to that, Kurt?
I hope he's repented of that. We've all made statements we kind of wish we hadn't, and that might be one of his, I hope.
Amen to that. Why don't we have a female moral anarchist chime in? How's that? Unique combination, huh? Becky Akers with us, ladies and gentlemen. Well-known author, writes about the realities and the abuses of the TSA regularly. She's also an incredible not only an incredible columnist, but an incredible author. Her book, Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, and her book, Abducting Arnold, too. Revolutionary new novels. Buy them before they're banned. Search for them online by Becky Akers. Hailstorm, Becky Akers. Abducting Arnold. Welcome, Becky. And what do you say? On one hand, Donald says he's going to defend our Second Amendment rights big time. On the other hand, he says take the guns first, due process second. For me, you got a quandary.
Yes, you do, Sam. And thank you for such a kind intro. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be on the air with you. I am sad to note that I think Donald Trump is becoming more and more just a politician. And I don't say that lightly, and I also can't think of a worse insult. I'm not suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. I like the man. I don't like most of his policies. But when he says one thing and does another, that's classic political behavior. It's how all politicians must conduct themselves if they want to hold office in the modern United States. And I was struck when I was reading his speech, because I don't own a television. And let me tell you, after the reports I've heard of the Super Bowl pornography and Trump's speech and Nancy Pelosi's shenanigans and spoiled brat behavior, I'm very glad I don't. I'd probably wind up shooting the television if I watched it for any length of time. But at any rate, I did read his speech. I know he ad-libs a lot, so I'm not positive I heard what he said or know what he said. But one thing.
Yeah, I listened to the speech and I've read the transcript, and I don't think there's a whole lot of ad-lib in this. A little bit, but not very much. There's not much you missed.
Okay. Thank you.
I think somebody said, Donald, you can't do that in this forum, and I think it served him well, even though I don't really believe in that script mentality. In this case, I understand what they were trying to do, and I think that they're pretty close is the point.
Okay, well, thank you. I didn't know anyone else who'd both read it and heard it.
Hey, man, I'm Sam Bushman. I get that done, buddy, at midnight.
I knew, Sam, that if I needed something like that, I should have called you. But I was struck by how lovey-dovey it was. And he's saying things like, we want to, I'm speaking to the American people, and I want to encourage their hopes and dreams, and I'm thinking, I don't want a government that encourages my hopes and dreams. I don't even want a government that knows what my hopes and dreams are. That's for me as an individual and a person in my own right and my own autonomy. I am in charge of my state under God, not not a government. And throughout, he's very lovey-dovey, and we love the American people. It's like, this is not what I'm looking for. However, I did have the thought. I like Donald Trump as a person again, and I would think he'd be too smart to fall for all this sentimental hogwash that so many people in our culture just love. And I'm thinking that, and again, this would point back to my primary point, he's becoming a politician. He is saying this stuff and agreeing with his speech writers. It has to go into speech because that's what most Americans now want. And Sam, that's the crux of our whole problem right there. Most Americans lap this up. Most Americans are just overjoyed. Oh, he cares. Why? We should have a government that is so tiny, so limited in its power, that whether or not the head of it cares about our hopes and dreams couldn't matter less to us. And so therefore, I found the speech very discouraging. As far as his words on the Second Amendment and his actions differentiating from those words again, I think it's more evidence that he is becoming a politician instead of a hard-headed businessman as he used to be.
Yeah, you're right. And the first 20 minutes was simply an economic propaganda statement. A lot of what he says has factual nuggets of truth, but in the scope of things, I should say, not very accurate. He then talked about after the overthrow of a dictator in Venezuela. He talked a lot about the war mentality and building the military-industrial complex, which I was really disappointed in. A huge effort to promote the black community. Now, I'm not against blacks, but I think you got to promote all Americans and not single out groups by race or religion or any other purpose. His job is to defend Americans all equally.
Yes.
He talked about more government education programs. He moved from government education to flat out defending Medicare and Social Security big time. He then moves
when
to promote.
When it comes to the government education, one of the things, though, that at least that he did bring up is, for too long, countless American children have been trapped in failing government schools. I mean, when have we heard a president call them government schools like we have? He goes, to rescue these students, 18 states have created school choice in the form of opportunity scholarships. The programs are so popular that tens of thousands of students remain on a waiting list. And then he talks about
things. And then he did say that there's some private sector businesses putting a bunch of money into education. And, you know, there's some good there, but he just went from item to item to item. And then the mandating of lowering of drug prices. And again, I don't think the government should be setting prices for things in the private sector. He then promotes Rush Limbaugh big time. He gave him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Then he banned late-term abortions at like 47 minutes and 50 seconds after that or so, you know, two-thirds of the way through his speech or whatever. He did double down and urge Congress to ban partial birth abortions. Now, this is something that I say is good, right? He urged Congress to pass legislation banning late-term abortions, and he said every child is a miracle of life. And he talked about a 21-week baby that survived and everything else. That's tremendous stuff, and I commend him for it. However, in my opinion, he needs to be a whole lot more pro-life than that. He needs to say every time we electively kill a baby, then, you know what? It's murder. And we need to jettison this legacy of murder over the last 60-plus million babies that have been murdered. We need to stop that. He needs to go all the way, Becky.
Yes, he does, Sam, but I do want to agree with you entirely that I was very hurt by parts of his speech. I mean, when was the last time any president said anything about the Second Amendment, let alone in the State of the Union?
Yeah, so it's a great point.
Yeah, most presidents act as though they've never heard of the Second Amendment. And while they may or may not, their administration may or may not be, quote, friendly to guns, you know, you would never know it's there. And in my opinion, it is the most important amendment. my opinion is, and again, everyone's free to disagree with me. Some people would say the First Amendment is more essential to liberty. But my view is that without the Second Amendment, we are slaves, okay? And the day that they take away and completely obliterate the Second Amendment, we need to fight.
Yeah, they claim the reason it's the First and the Second like that is because we're supposed to peacefully advocate to keep our rights, and then if they don't do it, we'll back it up with a second one.
That's right.
But your point's well taken, and I don't disagree one bit.
But I was thrilled. I was thrilled. And what other president comes out against abortion in the State of the Union? So I do want to emphasize the wonderful point you made that, you know, all of us can be very encouraged. This is a president who is standing up against the bullying left. But at the same point, it's, to me, very discouraging to think the government is powerful enough to take away our guns.
Amen. And that's the point. And that's the point that I'm getting at. And I would say this, you know, the fact is the president not only promoted life multiple times, but he also talked about God multiple times. The ending of his speech talking about the history of America and the resilience of the greatest country and that the best is yet to come. And talking about Melania's Be Best campaign to stop bullying and okay, those are tremendous things. And I got to give him nothing but credit for those things. And I think we, as a people, have an obligation to help him carry them out. When we get back, we'll have Kirk give a couple of final thoughts on that. And then I got a couple of interesting stories we want to drill into as well. And then I thought, what if I gave you my short State of the Union address? Mine wouldn't take an hour and 18 minutes. Mine might be 10 minutes. What do you say?
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-E-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
I don't like Donald pandering to certain groups. That concerns me, but this is very interesting. Donald Trump gave a scholarship. I don't know where the money for that comes from. But he gave a scholarship to a black girl. And Democrats flat out refused to even applaud when young black girl receives scholarship. Becky, what do you say to that? I mean, what is up with these people? It's so partisan. They're not even in touch with reality at all.
Well, they're like spoiled little brats. If they can't get their way, they just sulk. You know, and this should have touched their main button. I mean, there are no bigger racists on the face of the earth than the Democrats and Marxists in general. And by that, I mean modern Marxists. They have substituted the hatred that Marx taught for different classes and wealthy people with a hatred based on race. And so white people are always bad and black people in the Marxist handbook are always good. So you would think that would have trumped, so to speak, their hatred of Donald Trump, but apparently not. So
yeah, and that's why I say a shame. Now, listen, I don't know where the money comes from. If it's government money, shame on Donald. Okay, he shouldn't be raping my wallet to do this. But you know what? If he wants to put his own money in her, if he found private money to give this girl a scholarship, I don't care what color she is or anything else. If she could use the help and it's private money, in other words, in a charitable way given, then you know what? I commend them. And I think we ought to highlight that even more. I don't know the origins of the funding, so I don't know how to feel about it. But it's simple. If it's government money, I reject it. Shame on you. If it's free money from a charitable organization, somebody giving it out of the kindness of their hearts, I don't care what color the girl is. I'm grateful that she gets the help.
Absolutely.
What do you say, Kurt?
Well, I'll add this, and I agree that, the ideal is that there is no government money involved there and the government should be out of education. You know, as the Republicans have promised to eliminate the Department of Education for years, but in this case, I would expect, because it says, I can proudly announce tonight that an opportunity scholarship has become available. It's going to you, and you will soon be heading to the school of your choice, which, you know, makes me think that it's probably one of these, you know, programs that they've, the whole education opposition to the government schools has tried to get their, I guess you could say, nose in the tent just a little bit by at least saying, hey, if there's somebody who's, they first did it with disabled people or whatever, and they said, hey, if they're disabled and the school can't really take care of them, couldn't we have a place for them to go that, you know, they could choose? And so that's where they first did the whole little choice thing. And so then, you know, what they typically do is they take the next group and they say, hey, you're really poor, so then, you know, we'll give you a choice. And so then that's probably what's going on here. And I applaud any kind of choice or any kind of competition that will be there, because I believe it's going to make the whole system better. And I hope
it might,
that in the future it means, hey, you eliminate the government, you know, involvement in education, and you free the American people because you've, you know, gotten rid of that.
And I hope you're right. What we've done with, for example, sex education, though, is we've said, hey, if we're going to have government money spent on sex education, instead of shutting it down like we should, we said, okay, well, let's play in that market. So now, as long as you do sex education and you have a, quote, abstinence-only component, now you got the abstinence-only people battling to keep that money in the game. So what I'm saying is your point's well taken, Kurt, but if you're not careful, it can backfire too, and you got to consider both sides of that. Yes, there's choice, but pretty soon you get, hey, we got black scholarships. You can't get rid of those. You know, you got to have the black girls that are poor that need the scholarship. I mean, you don't dare take away. And pretty soon you have people that would advocate to shut down the education department backing a program that they have a skin in the game, or they have an involvement of their own. Well, you've given them a piece of the pie, right? And so we got to be very careful. Your point's well taken, but if you're not very careful, it just backfires. Or pretty soon the abstinence-only guys are like, well, we can't get government sex ed money out of government schools. I mean, how do we promote abstinence that way? See, and so you got to be very careful with that. But your point's well taken that incrementally, hey, at least there's choice. And in this case, at least, you know, hey, Donald's trying to be fair to the black community. They're calling him a racist while they won't applaud that he gave a girl a black girl scholarship. Very interesting to highlight, to say the least. All right, there's a story about Joe Rogan in the news that Kurt has that I think is worthy of talking about. Kurt?
Well, the reason I brought it up is, you know, frankly, I have no idea who Joe Rogan is. And
what's
yet
wrong with
the,
you, Kurt? You got to go on Wikipedia and study that up, and then you got to go
find
his website.
I did read a little bit about it, but I was shocked because the headline reads that basically he makes $30 million a year.
Yeah, that's
and
nothing.
He's
poor mouthing,
you know,
it compared to Rush, Kurt.
Well, yeah, I guess it's a little more than half. But when you look at that, I was just surprised that there was a guy that I've never heard of that's making that kind of money, and he's in a podcaster, right, Sam?
Yes, sir. Just so people know, headline says Joe Rogan, controversial backer of Bernie Sanders, is the top earning podcaster, making $30 million a year. The story.
How?
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, or what? I mean, who's funding, this podcast?
Well, I've told you forever, Kurt. Listen, if you're conservative and constitutional, you can't get $5 if you try.
True.
Okay. Now, the liberals, I'm sure the Clinton campaign and the Bernie Sanders campaign and all the whacked out communists and socialists and everything else, buddy, they double down. They quadruple down. They put their money where their mouth is. They're serious. They're ready to riot in the streets and fund whatever it takes. And you put that together with George Soros money and everybody else, buddy, they got so much money they don't know what to do with it, buddy.
This is a Forbes piece, which I thought was interesting. You know, they're focused on big money typically. I guess that's why they're talking about this guy. Support for Sanders. They say his podcast episode featured New York Times opinion columnist. So maybe that's what it is. It's basically, like you said, left or the progressive groups or the Times or whatever.
It's not maybe, Kurt. I've traced the money from these people. That's where it's coming from. I'm telling you right now. Okay, so when you're in bed with George Soros, the New York Times, and Bernie Sanders, you can get plenty of money, even straight for the communist government, buddy. Martin Luther King Jr. did that, too, and I bring it up, and everybody goes, oh, you're crazy, Sam, but the FBI documented it. What more do you want?
I guess they say he launched his podcast in 2009.
He just didn't know where it went.
Joe Rogan Experience. Have you ever heard it?
Yeah, of course. How do you not know who Joe Rogan is? Dude, you're not even in the realm. You're not even in the... Come on.
I know. But is he good?
Well, it depends on how you define good.
Yeah, that's
does he
right.
promote all the wrong principles? Absolutely. Is he pretty fun to listen to if you don't care about America or the principles, or if you don't mind promoting Satan's agenda versus God's agenda, if you will, force versus choice? Then he's fantastic, Kurt.
They say he's Apple's number one podcast in the world.
Yeah.
They say among his more controversial episodes, Rogan has twice interviewed InfoWars founder Alex Jones.
Johnny, right now, it was delightful to be on the Joe Rogan show, too. I'm just saying.
It says, a propagator of the debunked conspiracy theory, and it goes on, taking out Alex.
Before launching his podcast,
that's right. They say Rogan hosted the reality competition series Fear Factor.
See, that's how you make somebody famous, Kurt. That's how you get them to be a big, ripping podcaster or whatever. You give them plenty of cash. You go ahead and tie them to the New York Times. You go ahead and tie them to the inside mainstream TV propaganda agenda Fear Factor. You put a little bit of reality TV in there. You put plenty of communist money behind them. And no doubt he's making $30 million a year, Kurt. He becomes the other side. So you got Rush on one side at $50 million. And then you got Joe Rogan on the other side at $30 million. You got one old school radio guy, and you got one new school podcaster guy, and you just flat out control the swamp, buddy.
Good thinking.
That's how it's all going down, man. Becky, you want to chime in?
I have nothing but utter contempt for people who in this day and age continue to defend leftist policies that killed hundreds of millions of people within living memory. People like Joe Rogan are unutterably evil. They are saying that murder and genocide is perfectly all right. They are,
as long as it doesn't include them, huh?
Yes. They are advocating policies that result in death and utter totalitarianism, that destroy societies, that plunder property. Nothing but contempt.
Other than that, it's not so bad.
How have you heard him, Becky? Have you just read him?
I've never heard of him until Kurt just mentioned it. Never heard of him. I don't want to know about people like this. They are beyond the pale of civilization. Anyone who can defend Marxist ideas, which is basically what the left in this country is espousing, with the substitution of race for class. Anyone who defends that, anyone who sides with it, I want nothing to do with them. These people are murderers.
Pause on your radio. Becky's spot on.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump delivers his third State of the Union address last night to a joint session of Congress.
America's enemies are on the run. America's fortunes are on the rise, and America's future is blazing bright.
Before the speech began, President Trump quickly turned away when U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi extended her hand for a handshake. As soon as the president finished his speech, the California Democrat was seen ripping her copy of his address in half. That angered Republican Senator Ted Cruz.
It was disgusting. I was sitting 50 feet away from her, and it made me angry.
Presidential historian John Meacham says it was an unusually partisan event.
This was not about the union. It was very much about Trump's political state.
He was speaking on MSNBC, and this is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president in my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Pay for it. Responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Rootwall.com.
Two planes carrying hundreds of American citizens evacuated from China amid the coronavirus outbreak there have arrived in California. The people will be quarantined for 2 weeks at a pair of military bases in that state. The government jobs report is due out tomorrow, but the ADP private payroll jobs report is out for last month, and the creation of jobs saw its best month since May of 2015. The report says 291,000 private sector jobs were created last month, up from the 199,000 jobs created in December. The Republican-led U.S. Senate is expected today to acquit President Trump of the two articles of impeachment which had been brought against him by the Democratic-led U.S. House. Senate Minority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer says,
"The idea that that means you shouldn't have witnesses and documents when we're doing something as august, as important, as an impeachment trial fails the laugh test."
This is USA Radio News.
All right, let's move from Joe Rogan because there's a lot on him, but it'll take a long time to cover it. But anyway, I'm just telling you, big money. If you don't stand for the principles that make America great, the more you stand for the principles, the less money and the less support and the less you'll get. The more you promote pornography and permissiveness and all that kind of stuff and fighting and brawling and division and mainstream TV, and the more you compromise on what matters most, the greater cash you'll get to roll in. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. All you got to do is jettison the principles and you're in business, baby. All right. I want to give my little State of the Union. It'll only take about probably 5 or 6 minutes. And then I want Kurt and Becky Akers, our guest, to break this down a little bit and give their thoughts on my State of the Union. All right. So first my State of the Union, short version, and then their thoughts. All right. I would stand up and I would do all the formalities. Welcome. Thank you. Everybody and their dog that's here and all that. I'd do the formalities. And setting that aside, then I would say this. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be very candid. I have been praying night and day about the greatest country on the face of the earth. I've been praying night and day about how to change course. Ladies and gentlemen, America historically has been a wonderful country, providing more freedom to more people in the history of the world than just about anybody. And that's one side of the story, and that's the true history of America. But it's only one side of the story. We have also promoted all kinds of evil and war and turmoil and murder around the world. And we have a very sordid past, including the last 50 years since Roe versus Wade. We've murdered 61 million babies in the name of choice. That ain't a choice. That's death. That's murder. That's literally almost unforgivable. I say almost because it's not up to me, the president, to forgive anybody. It's up to God Almighty. But I fear when we behave in such a manner that turns our back on God. And that's my subject today, ladies and gentlemen. If you want a true State of the Union, hey, America, due to fake money, is prospering. America, due to the military-industrial complex and war around the world, is prospering. But none of those things matter a tinker's darn. If we don't get the God, family, country stuff right, ladies and gentlemen, we are far adrift from God's vision for the greatest country on the face of the earth, from Benjamin Franklin and other founding fathers' idea that can a nation rise without the aid of the Almighty? Of course, the answer is no. Then if we want to rise as a people, as a God-fearing society, where family is the fundamental unit of society, okay, if we are willing to focus on those things, we will be blessed and we can bring America back. But ladies and gentlemen, we need a compass recalibration in America. We have turned our backs on the things that made America great and that we hold dear. And until we make some fundamental, underlying, core, essential changes, we will never be on target. We will be adrift, far from what matters most. We may appear to do better from time to time and appear to do worse from time to time. And depending on who gets in office, we might bobble around in the sea, pushed by whatever winds of whoever's in power at the time. But we will never be on a safe track in America unless we repent as a people and individually and in families turn to God. We recognize family as the fundamental unit of society. I submit to you that the nation will never be stronger than its families. It will never be more educated than what is taught at home by loving parents who God gave authority over children, not government, by the way. And until we get the fundamentals of God's teachings correct, that male and female are male and female, and there are no other genders, and there is a law of God, a God-ordained marriage between one man and one woman, and God lives, and he loves us, and he has given us through the Ten Commandments the blueprint for liberty. And then he has inspired wise men to put together a constitutional document. We have a republic, not a democracy, folks. And in this constitutional document, it lays out the jurisdictional authority and the separation of powers that, if used, can continue to put us on a path of freedom. If we abuse it and ignore it and turn our back on it, we will melt down into socialism and communism like any other nation has and always will when they don't obey fundamental principles. I don't mean to be negative about America. I love this country. I will preach great things in the past and in the future for America, but it depends on us doing our part. And our part is to honor the author of liberty. Our part is to live according to his laws. And our part is to demand a tiny but responsive government with vertical and horizontal separations of powers and insist on that if necessary to the death. Ladies and gentlemen, I love this country. I don't mean to be negative. I don't mean to be discouraging, but we cannot pretend any longer. We must stand tall for our sacred cause. And if I stand up here and lie to you with platitudes of confusion and deception, I am doing nothing that would honor my sacred oath to God and to all of you as my fellow countrymen. I am no better than you. The fact that I'm a president is a servant's position, and I'm grateful for your trust. But I tell you that we together are God's children, and he loves us, and he has given us the blueprint for success. The only question is left, are we humble enough to embrace it? Are we willing to stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder, as the American people to carry it out? And if we are, the founding fathers told us we have a republic if we can keep it. Well, I question if we're keeping it at this point, ladies and gentlemen. But I pray we do. And I, as president, swear to you on the Holy Bible that I will do all within my power. I will not make law, but I will do everything that I can with my influence to encourage these principles, because that is where the answer is. You're looking to me standing up before Congress right now to solve all the world's problems and to do everything that's necessary to bring us on track, make America great, keep America great, recover from the tragedy, all these. And you know what, folks? That's a pipe dream. That ain't going to happen. Why? Because I don't have authority. That's why. Because until we're a good, moral people, we cannot receive the blessings of God. I don't control that. The Almighty controls that. I am here to encourage us to do our duty, to promote God, family, and country. I pray for repentance and I pray for forgiveness in all of our lives. And I would point you to your family for solutions, not government. To your family for a peer support group on earth, and then to God for real solutions. And you know what, folks? That's where the answers are. And if anybody tells you any different, they are lying to you. Now, I know my critics are going to come back and say, I'm just a do-nothing guy. I'll pray for them, too. And in the end, I say this. If I've got one demand before Congress, it is to stop the murder in America called abortion. And I, for one, am suspending all expenditures in this regard. As commander-in-chief, it is a national emergency of murder, and it will stop now. Congress, solve it. But I will not spend another penny in this satanic agenda. I will not do it. As president, fire me, impeach me, murder me, do what you will, but I will stand for life. Thank you. Kurt, you're first, buddy.
Well, it was good, Sam.
By the way, no script. That was all just from my heart, people, just so you know. I don't have anything written down at all, so if you want a copy of it, I can't give it to you. Somebody will have to transcribe it for us.
Yeah, well, you can just listen to it over and over, you know. But as you said, you know, standing for life and doing those things is, you know, certainly what the president ought to be doing. And, you know, in many ways, there are some agreements there between the two of you. But
amen. And I'm grateful for those agreements, by the way, Kurt.
Yeah, and I was noticing that, like Joseph Fair from WorldNet Daily said, he reveled in the soul-stirring address by a virtuoso president. He's talking about President Trump. He didn't get to hear yours, but, you know, he would revel in that, I think, as well, Sam. And so
I hope so.
I guess that's, you know, my comment.
All right, what do you say, Becky? There's my State of the Union. I don't need 118 minutes, or, you know, an hour and 18 minutes to get it done or whatever. There's just my, what, seven-minute breakdown of what I believe to be the true State of the Union, to be honest with you.
Yes, and it's such a pity you don't have a transcript, Sam, because I was going to say, I didn't even rip up the transcript you gave me ahead of time. So
there you go.
Yeah. I don't think we ever need to worry about your delivering a State of the Union, because the principles you are espousing in it are so out of fashion now. And I really appreciated how you tried to steer people into a proper thinking on government. And to my mind, that's any president in the modern era's most important function. He should be telling people government is not the answer.
Amen to that. And I haven't heard that once from president in his candidate stage, really, and or his 3 years in office. I haven't really heard him say that, really. All right, folks, quick pause. Sam Curtin, Becky Akers on your radio. By the way, get her novels, Abducting Arnold, The Other Side of the Story, and Hailstorm.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, the headline, Sam delivers his own State of the Union. There you have it, folks. Anyway, any final comment on that before we move along, Kurt?
I think we're good.
All right, Becky?
I'm fine.
All right, Trudeau on your radio, Kurt. What is this, the Canada guy?
Well, that's right. The headline from Breitbart reads, Trudeau minister. So this is, you know, somebody that's under him, that's in his group or whatever, his cabinet, I guess. Trudeau minister proposes forcing news websites to have government license. They call him the Canadian Heritage Minister, Stephen Guilbeault, I suppose I said that properly, I'm sure, has stated that news websites, along with social media companies, could be forced to obtain government licenses to operate in Canada. Well, you know, I guess what they really said was they will be asked, in quotes, to obtain a government-approved license. They say the report entitled Canada's Communications Future, Time to Act, end quote, was released January 29th, included 97 recommendations. They say it details how the CRTC, remember that's the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission. It's kind of like our FCC. Would be vastly expanded to not only regulate radio and television broadcasters, but news websites as well. This guy said in his Canadian TV or interview, he says, if you're a distributor of content in Canada, and obviously if you're a very small media organization, the requirement probably wouldn't be the same if you're Facebook or Google. There would have to be some proportionality embedded into this, he said. When asked directly how the legislation would affect foreign websites, with Breitbart News specifically named, he said that he did not think foreign sites would be blocked in Canada if they did not comply with the CRTC. Didn't think. He says, frankly, I'm not sure I see what the big deal is. He added that other foreign companies and other industries actively comply with Canadian regulations. Anyway, bottom line is...
Just kind of like, we really would appreciate it if you'd wear your seatbelt. Now it's like, well, yank you out of your car, tase you and arrest you, buddy. Yeah, give you a big old rip and fine. See, that's how government always moves, Becky.
Good point.
Oh, absolutely. It's always incremental. And at first, we're just trying to protect people from fake news. And you know, at this point, it's just going to be voluntary. It's only going to affect some of you. And we're just asking that you comply with us. And it'll be voluntary. But then incrementally, things start happening pretty soon. It's more and more people, more and more news organizations, more and more websites that will be drawn in. And then it goes from being voluntary to mandatory. And, oh, by the way, there are lots of fees associated with this. And the point is to drive all the smaller guys out of the market so that the big guys can take over and consolidate. Governments love consolidation because then they only have to keep their eyes on two or three large corporations instead of 1,600 or 1,700 little guys. And by the way, the two or three large corporations also know where their bread is being buttered, and they are happy to, quote, contribute. The rest of us would call it bribe politicians to get things in that particular field and industry favorable to their corporations. So, I mean, this is government's modus operandi. The astonishing thing to me is that people don't seem to learn. This is how government acts in every single field that it tries to usurp and bring under its control. And yet Americans and Canadians, too, are so averse to learning from history that they permit it to happen over and over and over.
And by the way, that's how it will always happen with government, because that is the nature of government.
Absolutely. Becky. Yes, that is. Thomas Jefferson told us that. It is the nature of liberty to yield and for the state to increase. I'm not quoting him directly. That's paraphrase. But that's precisely what he was getting at. We have to understand government is a ravening beast. It will come after us. It will devour us every single time. That is what it does. And for us to think it's out there to help us, for us to think that politicians and bureaucrats are interested in helping us fulfill our dreams and goals and ambitions, no, they are interested in one thing, power. And money is a form of power, or power is a form of money, however you want to look at it. But those two are twins, identical twins in the political world, and that is what they want, more and more and more money and power.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. And I want to point out really quick about this, too. You got Trudeau with one idea. You got the old fairness laws where you had to give equal time and all this kind of stuff of the past, even in America. You've now got China trading in what's called a credit system. And it's not a credit financial system. It's a behavior system. And so China's working on that. Well, Donald Trump has been working on the same kind of a credit system in America, based on your behavior. So there's a lot of different prongs to this, and that's what they often do. Float 20 prongs, and, well, 11 prongs get laughed off the stage. Two or three prongs get, you know, hey, that's too extreme or that won't work. But then three or four or five prongs stick, and eventually it gets honed down to the two or three prongs that do become law, that do get in our face, that do, and they're working on it, and it's happening in America, too. Let's be very clear. It's China, Canada, and America, and everybody in between. And let's not pretend this isn't happening, because it's happening in spades, Kurt.
Very good, Sam. So you're saying you wanted to go to this next article on the...
Yeah, so I guess Becky Aker just got invited to dinner. You and I didn't, but Becky did, right? Is that the idea, Kurt?
Well, that's right. Well, she wouldn't fit, Sam. What they are is they're white women, but they're also liberal white women. And so she would not fit here. They say the headline from the New York Post and the Guardian: white women paying $2.5K or $2,500 for a dinner to learn how they're racist. And I guess
enough to pay it too.
Yeah, it says so far they've held 15 dinners in big cities across the U.S., including Denver, since spring of 2019. They say if they did it in a conference room, they'd leave, but wealthy white women have been taught never to leave the dinner table. They say the dinners are 2 hours long with 8 to 10 white women as guests, one of whom volunteers her home for the event, sometimes covers the full $2,500 price tag for the evening. They say white men and Trump voters are not invited, as they say they're perceive them to be lost causes. White men are never going to change anything, they say. If they were, they would have done it by now. I guess you get the picture, Sam. And so I think this is basically came about, they said, because years ago when one of them was running for Congress or something like that, they say they noticed throngs of white women anxious to meet them, with the sole intent to tell them they weren't racist. And so they've taken advantage of this now. So
isn't that phenomenal? They said
you.
When they started out, they had a few arguments going on. It was kind of a meltdown. Now they're learning to manage it properly, Becky.
I don't even know where to start with this. It's just so comical. This sounds like it came out of The Onion. Sam, are you sure?
No, but this is a real news story. I've seen it in multiple documentable news sources. This is a real story. I mean, these people are psychotic. It's all happening in Denver, of all places, too.
It's just too funny. I'm sorry. I love the idea where they walk up to him and try to get absolution, which points to another aspect of Marxism. And perhaps I'm treading ground. Everybody knows that I want to emphasize that Marx created his whole philosophy as a counterpoint and very sick satire on Christianity. Now, I have not read enough about this particular aspect of Marxism to know if he deliberately did this or if it is just accidental, incidental. But people who have studied in depth, and I've seen several of these books, will go through and show the amazing similarities between Marx with his unholy trinity and Christianity that he was either deliberately or indirectly satirizing. And one of
Well, and it almost doesn't matter, does it, Becky?
No, it doesn't matter. But this is just so comical. And, you know, whereas Christianity...
I don't mean the discussion of it doesn't matter. I just mean that whether it's intentional or not doesn't matter.
No,
because the results are the same with the propaganda, right?
Precisely it. One of the, you know, and everything in Christianity is inverted in Marxism. So whereas Christianity preaches love for our fellow man, Marxism preaches hatred. Look at these self-righteous, arrogant women condemning all white men. Can you imagine that?
And condemning the most innocent among us, condemning their own, their babies.
I was born to a white man. My brothers are white men. My husband is a white man. I love white men. White men founded this country, and as you pointed out earlier, Sam, it has given more freedom to more people than any country in the history of the world. And I love white men for that. How can a group of supposedly anti-racist, now I go back to my original point that Marxists are the most racist and sexist people going, but how can they possibly believe they are anti-racist, anti-sexist, when they have just condemned an entire race of men? It's beyond me. I mean, you know.
And the next generation, let's be clear, they want to murder their own.
They want to murder their own. And another thing about Marx is he destroys, when you're steeped in his philosophy, it destroys your ability to reason. So these people can actually sit there and condemn racism and think they are being logical when they then go on to damn an entire race of men. I mean, this is just insanity.
Hey, is your third book about ready?
No, not yet, but I should write one on Marxism because, wow.
Yes,
what
you
evil,
should.
Evil philosophy. Absolute evil.
And that's why in my little State of the Union, I highlighted this, ladies and gentlemen. The epic war that was started in heaven, biblically documented, is live and well today. And the choice is you either have your ability to choose God, or that choice will be taken away from you by the Satanists. This is a battle between right and wrong, good and evil, the ability to choose or not, so slavery / tyranny or liberty, and there's God at one end and Satan at the other, and you and I are in the middle. And the only question left is, whom will you serve? And you know what? I'm telling you, the battle is that simple in its reality, in its polarization. And the answer is to get aboard and understand it. And then the answer is to advocate for the rest of your days for the plan of God and to not let Satan's agenda overthrow that plan. And that means it starts with individuals understanding this and repenting and forgiving. It starts with teaching our families to do the same. And look, government has very little to do with it. Now, there's a proper role for limited government, in my personal opinion, but it's very tiny in scope. And we spend so much time on the presidential address last night as if it even matters. What we need to do is double down in our families and double down in our personal lives, and there we shall see success. Becky, thank you.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege.
Look for Becky Akers. Look for Abducting Arnold. That's one book. Incredible book, I might add, about the other side of the Benedict Arnold story, and Hailstorm, an incredible book about one of the greatest patriots ever to live, not counting the Savior Jesus Christ, obviously, but Nathan Hale, a great, great man, but just a man, let's be clear, but an incredible one nevertheless. So look for Becky Akers, Hailstorm. Incredible books. Get them today. For Sam, Kurt, and Becky, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States. of America.